Good morning. We have several visitors this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone. Some from Michigan and others more locally. Jay has his cousins with him. And I see, even Doreen and Rex have a young visitor. Oh, and Courtney's here, so we have a lot of visitors. I see Grace. I see Ruthie back there in the back with her mom. I always forget her mom's name, but Ruthie's mom is back there too. Notice our guest. Make them feel welcome. Hug them. Nobody can resist a heartfelt hug. I'm also happy to see that several that have been sick are back again. And I see some of our travelers are back from Alabama. Did you have a good Alabama trip? I don't. That's why I moved to Florida. Well, but it's wonderful to see everybody here this morning. Our scripture reading this morning was very interesting. It's talking about God's will. And is that not the question that we all have? What does God want me to do? And the question that most of us ask, but we don't mention it, what if I don't like it? When I was 18 years old, I had just gone to Freed Hardeman. Then it was known as Freed Hardeman College. I think they call themselves university today. I must say, when I went to Freed Hardeman, my main thought was, I'm going to go there 2 years. I was going to transfer because I wanted to be a park ranger. I wanted to work in a national park, and be a preacher was the furthest thing from my mind. To do mission work at that time was the furthest thing from my mind. I wanted to be a park ranger. I wanted to work in parks. I wanted to be around animals and away from people. That was my dream. But as I went to Freed Hardeman, I began to awaken in my faith. I had already been baptized. I was baptized for 16 years. But it wasn't until I got to Freed Hardeman And I saw other people's whose faith was burning, that my eyes began to be open. I guess I could say when my first year at Freed Hardeman, I was in the twilight zone of my faith. A halfway point between, I wouldn't really say disinterest, but not great interest, and yet also the awakening of a deep belief in God and the wanting and the willing to do what was right. I cared about God. I wanted to live and do what was right. But at the same time, I was holding back. What if God wanted me to go on the mission field? You know, my idea of mission field was in the middle of Africa, carrying a backpack, sweating, and no money. And I was also thinking that they also had a lot of diarrhea. And what about a wife? Now, I learned this morning that Carolyn got her MRS degree, but never got her degree. No, Cletus got... Oh, now, why didn't you make her get her degree too, Cletus? She deserved it. But she got a good husband. And he took care of her and still is. And she takes care of him as well. But that was one of my other questions. Did God have a good wife for me? And believe it or not, at that time I was thinking, I hope he finds me a pretty one. That was a major concern of mine. I wanted to be a Christian, but she had to be a pretty Christian. You can see, I was young, 18. And then 19. But by the time I finished Freed Hardeman, I was 21 and still didn't have a wife. And the one side, I wanted to be guided by God. But on the other side, I was afraid He might lead me in directions I didn't want to go. And He did. But amazingly, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, God didn't do it all at once. Had God immediately sent me on the mission field, I probably would have failed miserably. I wasn't ready at that time. See, God knows when we're ready to move on So I wondered about my life. I wondered about what God wanted for my life. But I also wondered what kind of sacrifices he was going to ask of me. I worried that God's plan wouldn't fit mine. At that time, I dreamed of God's plan, but clung to my own. And what I love about God is his patience. He gently leads us. He could make abrupt demands of us, couldn't he? He could make demands of us because it is his prerogative as God to lead us. He could order us around and he could make us leap at his every request. He could impose his will on us, strip us of our dignity and of our responsibility of choice. But he doesn't. Instead, slowly but kindly, he persuades us. He wins our affection and thereby our consent. And he does it gradually. Slowly our desires change to meet his own. We discover that God's ways do lead to joy, to happiness, and to good. Because this process is gradual, at times we do wonder where we're going. I think at times we might be frightened. We think his ways might be unappealing. Or we think maybe his direction might be downright spooky. Would you ask a toddler who barely has teeth, would you ask a toddler when he's an adult if he'd like steak? Would that toddler even have a conception of what a steak is? Time changes many things. It changes our perspective, our understanding, and it changes our desires. You know, I no longer have a desire to be a park ranger. I still love national parks. They're beautiful places. But looking back, the progression in my life was gradual, it was logical, and it was natural as I became more like Jesus. I do not question if my life is in the will of God, though I never would have anticipated being a preacher or a missionary when I was 18 years of age. Let me read to you. This is Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6. No, it's not. I've got here 5 through 12. I wrote 5 through 6, but I wrote down 5 through 12. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't depend upon your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits from all your crops. Then your barns will be full and your wine barrels will overflow with new wine. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline and don't get angry when he corrects you. The Lord corrects those he loves. Just as parents correct the child they delight in. Think about it. In all of our plans, where does God fit in? Our brains did not evolve from monkey brains. Though there are some scientists, I might think that possible. Our brains were a gift from God. Even many of our yearnings have been placed within us by the fingers of God. It is appropriate that we should dream dreams, that we should devise plans and draft blueprints for our life. We assess our abilities, consider our interests, weigh our educational options, We take our resources into account. We plan, work, and we work our plan. All this is more than understandable. It is responsible and it is good. But we have limitations, don't we? Perhaps the greatest of which is that we do not fully comprehend just how limited we really are. Our wisdom, our resources, our cleverness takes us only so far. We are, in fact, more fragile than we begin to imagine. Our very breath is a gift of God. We are, in fact, only ever minutes away from having all of our plans irrelevant. We don't need God simply to review our plans and veto the parts He doesn't like. We need a partnership with God in every step that we take. Let's read verse 13 and 14 again, there in James 4. Some of you say, today or tomorrow, we will go to some city. We will stay there a year, do business, and make money. But you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Your life is like a mist. You can see it for a short time, but then it goes away. With God, we can frame plans that are wise and good. Then we can watch them as God makes them reality. Verse 15 says, so you should say, if the Lord wants, we will live and do this or that. When you hear the words, God's will, what questions come to your mind? To put it another way, if you could ask God three questions about His will for your life, what would they be? For our younger Christians and our children, it might be, what job do I want when I grow up? For the little older ones, what university do I want to go to? Or do I want to go to a trade school? Or maybe when it's time to finish school, or maybe even now, we might ask yourself, what kind of a job does God want me to have? I had this one at one time, and maybe others do. Does God want me to marry? And if yes, what woman? Or maybe we would like to know how God would like us to raise our children, or how to raise our children. We wonder about God's will, what He wants. But often the questions we raise sound like questions that we might could ask a fortune teller. Do we want to know God's will, or are we curious about the future? God cares about our tomorrows. But His mind is also very much on how we live today. He cares about what we do, but His greatest passion rests upon what we shall become. When I express my desires or explain my plans and then add, if God so will, I am saying without God I can do nothing. I am reminding myself and others that even my very breath is a gift of God. I am affirming nothing is more important to me than the desires of my God. We tend to ask about the big things and God's will for these big things in our lives. What are God's plans for my career, for my family? But we rarely ask simple questions like, what are God's plans for Friday night? Do I go to the movie that might not be the right type of a movie for a Christian? Do I want to listen to music that might not be right for a Christian to listen to? Do I want to go further with my girlfriend than I should? These are questions that we should think about because we know God's will in these things. If God's will matters at all, it matters completely about everything. The near future as well as the distant future. Today as well as tomorrow. Who I am, not just what do I do. Here's a test. What is God's will for my temper? What is God's will for my sexuality? What is God's will for my relationship with my parents? With my wife? Or with my husband? What about my boyfriend or my girlfriend? What is God's will for my attitude toward the church? These are important questions because they give us a gauge of our true feelings about following the will of God. What we are willing to do in the small things show what we are willing to do in the big things, don't they? If we are willing in these small things to obey and follow the will of God, then I think the big things will come naturally as we know what God expects of us. It is one thing to wonder about God's will for my career. It's quite another to remind myself in the heat of passion that it is God's will for me to remain pure. I may wonder if I will marry or who my partner will be. Today, however, I know it is God's will for me to respect my parents, my wife, my husband. It is God's will that I am honest, not lying or stealing. I know it is God's will for me to control my temper. Following God's will begins here, in these small things. With the things we already know that are the will of God. If we are not willing to do God's will here, we will not be willing to do God's will in the big things. James 4:17 says, anyone who knows the right thing to do, but does not do it, is sinning. You see, God cares about the little things. The little things then lead to the big things. And if I knew the one thing God most desired of me, the question is, would I do it? We must pause before we answer. It may be difficult. It may even be painful. It may be the thing I least desire to do right at this moment. If my heart is not right, I may not automatically do the things that are right. Is it any wonder God reveals His will gradually? When I was 18 years old, had Charlie said, Monty, you're going to grow up to be a preacher, I might have laughed. It was the furthest thing from my mind. Yes, I wanted to go to church. I might have even wanted to be a deacon. I always wondered about elders, though. I thought, that's a hard job. I don't want the responsibility. Deacons, they just do things. Elders, they're in charge of things, and God's going to hold them accountable. Of course, an elder's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But God lets us know gradually His plans for us. Had I known that He was going to send me on the mission field and make a preacher out of me, I might not have gone to Freed Hardeman College. I might have chose another one. But God worked gradually in my life, and He works gradually in your lives. Is it any wonder that God reveals His will gradually? He allows our heart time to catch up with His heart. He is patient as our perspective grows and as our understanding deepens. In truth, there is nothing really so terrifying about God's will. God's will is that we love Him because of who He is, and that it should be as natural as breathing. He has loved us unselfishly, and He sacrificed Himself for us to the point that He suffered for me unimaginable pain. I don't know what it would feel like to have actual nails go through my hand and my feet. I just can't imagine it. That kind of love prompts us to love in return. Something miraculous happens when we fall in love with God. It becomes our aspiration to be like Him. This one passion drives us because we know it is the right thing to do and that it is good. Our confidence in Him deepens. We know that we can safely trust ourselves to His plans because He cares for us to the point that He would die for us. And we know that we will be free of disappointment because God will only lead us in places that are best for us. What is God's will? The one great thing that He wants is you. He died that all men might avoid hell and enter heaven. The Bible says He does not want even one person to go to hell. He wants all of mankind to be saved. And that is why He is patiently waiting before He sends Jesus Christ the second time. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. We sometimes sing a song about it, don't we, Charlie? The thing you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what God wants. Then all of these other things you need will be given to you. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. And isn't that true? Each day has enough trouble of its own. What does God most want? That we attain God's kingdom. That is what He wants. Knowing this, knowing that God loves you and wants you and only wants the best for you, why do you wait? Waiting brings you nothing. But believing and following Jesus can bring peace, can bring forgiveness, and can bring joy beyond your imagination. God is calling you. Will you not today answer His call? Will you not say, God, I will? This is the day of salvation. God is calling you who are not yet baptized to be baptized, to have your sins forgiven, and to be added into the kingdom. And for those of you who have already washed away your sins in baptism, He's calling you into His will. He wants your trust. He wants your love. He will do what is right. Will you not come as we stand and sing?